This time of year is, it starts getting difficult for pastors. As we move through the season of Pentecost, the texts get more edgy and difficult. So when I first read this text, I thought, oh boy, what am I going to do with this one? But in my usual fashion, I got on the computer and started trolling around, and I came up with a marvelous piece from the Center on Christian Reflection, a series in faith and ethics from Baylor University. So I downloaded it. So here's my sermon. It's only 96 pages. Get comfortable. We could be here a while. Not really. But it has some wonderful stuff in it that I wanted us to think about. And I wanted us to think about freeing ourselves from stuff love. In this text, you'll notice that someone comes to Jesus and makes a request, and it's a pretty clear request. And what does Jesus do? Jesus says, who am I to solve your problems? That's not my job. And then he says, again, he does what he frequently does. He tells a story that's supposed to help this person understand what he really wants him to know. And so he tells the story about a very rich man who had a bumper crop, who says to himself, self, we've got all this grain, what are we going to do with it? We need more barns. He might have been singing this song. Bigger barns are what I need. So a rich man said one day, from my worries I'll be free when my wealth is stored away. God said, but wait. You're not going to have your life forever. As a matter of fact, it's pretty much over. And what are you going to do with all that grain? Where's it going to go? Who's going to get it? The fact is that in Jesus' day, when he was telling this story, 70 to 80% of the people with whom he lived and walked, lived on starvation subsistence. They didn't have much. They didn't have enough. They were barely getting by. So when you think about that and you hear the rich man say, more barns, that's what we need. You begin to hear the difference between what is called restlessness in abundance and richness toward God. In 1830-ish, Alexis de Tocqueville observed about Americans and is quoted in this way. "It is a spectacle as old as the world. All that is new is to see a whole people performing it. Restlessness amid abundance is an attitude, and according to the definition of some, a disease that is around us every day. As an example, have you heard of the cronut craze? Do you know what a cronut is?
It's a donut croissant combined.
Yes. It is a cross between or a blending of a croissant and a donut. It was created by a baker in New York who has his own bakery. And since they were introduced in May of this year, New Yorkers have gone slightly berserk. Yes, more than usual. They start lining up outside the bakery 2 hours before it's time to open. They are so enthusiastic about acquiring cronuts that the chef had to put a limit of 2 on each purchase. Now, these cronuts sell for $5 a piece. And I understand from my reading that if you give him a month's notice, you can order you can order 50. But they're still $5 a piece. They have become so popular that there is a black market for cronuts, and there are scalpers on the streets of New York who will buy cronuts at $5 a piece and sell them for anywhere up to, $30 a piece. Stuff love is a big problem. Now, I can't, in all honesty, stand up here and talk about stuff love without confessing that I'm a craftaholic and that I have stuff everywhere. I have a bin full of yarn stuff. I have another bin or two full of bead stuff for making necklaces. I have another bin of old t-shirts. Then there's my shop out in the back that is amassing a large number of wine bottles, empty, not by me, not all of them by me, which will be turned into various craft projects, hopefully to be for sale to raise some money to help pay for the fellowship hall. So, you know, when I'm talking about stuff love, I'm talking to myself and hoping to God I hear what I'm saying. I know Francie hopes that I hear what I'm saying. So the rich fool builds himself some barns, says, "Eat, drink, and be merry." Isn't it interesting that we already know, and when we use that phrase, what's the rest of it? Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. We heard that. We heard that. So how is it possible to cure ourselves of stuff love? Well, we can give it all up. We can go for the simple life. We have good examples of that. Jesus comes to mind. Saint Francis of Assisi comes to mind. Gave up wealth, embraced poverty, so that he could do good in the world. Does that mean he stopped having fun? Does that mean he didn't enjoy life? Nah, I don't think so. He followed Jesus' example. The laughing Jesus. The Jesus who, as Charles Schulz, the creator of Peanuts, says, wouldn't have been invited to so many dinner parties if he hadn't been good company. Saint Francis held a special place in his heart for what he called holy laughter. The good times we spend with one another, sharing experiences and joy. The theologian Martin Marty has written, "To disdain what is on earth, to be consumed, is not purely and simply virtuous." And then he tells a traditional Hasidic story about a man who takes a vow of asceticism, another one of those words, believing that depriving himself of all earthly pleasures is a sure ticket to paradise. He eschews art, social events, wine, women, song, and the like, and does achieve his desired afterlife destination. Unfortunately, he's tossed out about 3 days later because he doesn't have a clue about the delight and enjoyment that's going on there. Our lives are a balance between the things we need and the things we need to share. Wealth is good and enables good living. Wealth is sometimes difficult because it blinds us to poverty. We don't want to see always the need that is around us. Wealth can be damaging to relationships. So what are we to do? Because the fact is, most of us like our way of life. There was a poll done in which a number of women were asked if they would be willing to give up their electronics and their electrically powered appliances and so forth and go back to wood stoves. Ice boxes, with ice, not refrigeration. And pretty much they said, oh, no, thank you. Nope. One of the things that these things do is give us time. What we choose to do with the time makes a difference. How can we be rich toward God? When we accept responsibility for our behavior, we're rich toward God. When we share in First Food Sunday and bring out of our abundance to share with those who have less or none, we are rich toward God. When we nurture relationships, opening ourselves to the risk of making the stranger a friend, we are rich toward God. When we treat one another with respect, we are rich toward God. When we care for creation, those things that are not human, the planet that we live on, we are rich toward God. We are thankful people. We share our praise of God, and we thank God for things large and small. So that we can free ourselves from stuff love. Would you join me in prayer? Creator God, giver of treasures beyond our imagination, treasures not found in stuff, but treasures found in relationships. Treasures found in the joy of sharing and caring and loving. We ask you to help us keep in mind, to be aware of the times when we tend to care more about things than people. Help us to reach out to the marginalized, to draw the circle wide, so that they are included. We ask you, loving God, to be present among us, in a way that gives us confidence and hope. We lift up to you Anthony Ramirez, and we pray that the tumor that he has is benign. We pray that Pierre and Pat and Julie find healing. We pray that Nancy Michael's mother, Ellie Gammon, find healing. We pray for Linda and Mitch and Cindy, that they be aware of your presence with them as they pass through this difficult time. We pray that those who are traveling and are far from us be safe and return to our circle. We miss them when they're gone. We are fuller when they are among us. We thank you for the opportunity to give witness to this community, that we are an open and receiving and generous people. We thank you for the life and teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us many things about how to live together and love one another, and who taught us to pray to you, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen."